Okay, so Parshas Balak. So, I have a confession to make. So usually I like to look around for something new, but I started looking through the old from the previous years, and somehow Parshas Balak, it seems, out of favor of Verdebuch. I'm going to say over a lot that we said in the past. Okay, Parshas Balak. Chofetz Chaim makes a very interesting observation in Parshas Balak. If you look through Parshas Balak, you notice that there are no hafsakas, there are no breaks. It's one long parasha. Looking at Sefer Torah, starting from the beginning all the way until Shvi, it's one column after another, no psuchos, no stumos, it's one long parasha. Usually, in a Sefer Torah, every few psukim or so, you have a break, and there's space. In Balak, it's continuous, there's no break. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the Torah is teaching us something. You can learn something from every pasuk of the Torah, even the way it's written. What's the pasuk teaching us? So the Torah is teaching us, why are there spaces in the Torah? Why are there psuchos and stumos? Why is the Torah written like that? So Rashi told us at the beginning of Vayikra, that the reason why there are hafsekos, there are stops, is because they retain Moshe Rebach, the Moshe time was by name in parasha of parasha. From the stand to chazar over to review which one parasha the next. So you can't learn everything at one shot. You need time to review. So it's divided up, one parasha, another parasha, for Moshe and Klal Yisrael to have time to review between one parasha and the next. Bilam, Hashem is telling him throughout the entire parasha, first subtly, then a little clearer and clearer, don't go, don't do it. And Bilam doesn't learn. Bilam has his agenda, he wants to go, and Bilam goes no matter what, with all the simonim that he has, and all the signs, and all what he sees and he understands, Bilam is going anyway. Bilam doesn't want to take the time to understand and reflect on what's being said to him and what he sees. Therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, there's no space between the psukim and the parasha because Bilam didn't use it properly. Bilam was not did not use the time that he had to reflect on what Hashem was telling him, and Bilam did what he wanted to do on his own. So therefore, there's no need to have the parasha is divided up in the Torah. The Altaf in the Bardic said over a beautiful marshal explaining Bilam. Said over the marshal, the Shamus is in shul late one Thursday night, and he's quite late, later than usual, and he's straightening out the tables, the chairs, preparing the shul for Shabbos. And suddenly he's aware he's not the only one in the shul. There's someone else there. And he looks up, and he sees the town Ganef is in the shul with him. Every town has its Ganef. The town Ganef was in shul with him. And the Shabbos is a little nervous. What's the Ganef doing here so late? You know, better watch everything in the shul. And he quietly stays in the back. He's watching the Ganef. He notices the Ganef goes over to the Aron Kodesh. And the Ganef opens up the Aron Kodesh and he starts davening. And the Ganef starts davening, says, Hashem, please let me have Ruach HaKodesh. Grant me Ruach HaKodesh. Shamus is at the back of the shul. What's this Ganef davening? He asked me for Ruach HaKodesh. He has no connection, no shaykhus to Ruach HaKodesh. How can he daven for Ruach HaKodesh? The Shamus can't contain himself. He jumps out from his hiding place in the back. He runs up to Ruach HaKodesh and he says to the Ganef, you, of all people, how are you davening for Ruach HaKodesh? Why are you davening for Ruach HaKodesh? What shaykhus do you have? And the Ganef says to the Shamus, don't you understand? You know how hard it is to be a Ganef? You know how hard it is? First, you have to pick the lock. You have to break into somebody's house. And then, once you're inside, you have to start looking where to keep their valuables. And everybody hides their valuables in different places. One house, it's downstairs. One house, it's upstairs. One house, it's in the safe. It's in the closet. It's here. And I have to waste so much time looking in every house for the gold, the silver, the valuables. I'm asking Hashem to grant me Ruach HaKodesh. So when I go into a house, I should already know where everybody's valuables are, and I shouldn't have to waste valuable time trying to find the gold and the silver. The Shabbos looks at him and says, not what you are. If you're already davening for Ruach HaKodesh, why don't you daven? You should do tshuva already. Daven, you should straighten out your ways and become an Elohid. Instead of davening that Hashem should help you with your geneva, if you're already davening and you're asking Hashem for Ruach HaKodesh, daven, you should do tshuva. Says the Atta from the Vadik, Bilam was the same way. Bilam was a Navi among the Messiah, was a Navi among the Goyim. Hashem spoke to Bilam. Now what does Bilam do? instead of using the nevuus that he has, instead of using the connection that he has with Hashem for good, what does Bilam use it for? He twists it around, and he uses it to do bit, he uses it to go ahead, and he wants to be Mekalo B'nai Yisrael. Not what you want. Hashem's giving you a nevuah already, use it the right way. And that also answers another kasha, which is that the Umas Ha'olam, Taina, Tashem, how could you have any complaints against us? The Yidin, you gave a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, and you didn't give us a Navi. If you would have given us a Navi, we would also have done Shuvah. So Hashem said, fine, I'll give you a Navi. Hashem gave them Bilam, and Bilam ruined it for all of them, and they sinned even worse because of Bilam. So the Velt asked the Kasha, how does that answer the complaint that they had? The Goyim complained that they didn't have a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem said, I'll give you a Navi. If Hashem would give the Navi, then the Goyim and Moshe Rabbeinu, they would have done Shuvah. The Goyim could still complain and say, Hashem, what do you want from us? You gave us a Navi like Bilam, that's why we sinned. Had he given us a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have done better. So I think of Simcha Bonu Vashishcha answers, forget. Once they saw the Koyach of a Navi, they saw that a Navi speaks to Hashem, then they should have realized and seen through Bilam. Once they believed that a Navi has that Koyach and Hashem speaks to the Navi, so now they saw a Moshe Rabbeinu and they saw Bilam. So once they saw the Koyach and Nevuah, they should have realized that Bilam is a Rasha, and they should have gone and listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. They can't tie anymore, they didn't believe in the Koyach and Nevuah. Because I gave you a Navi, you saw the Koyach and Nevuah. Once you saw the Koyach and Nevuah, why'd you stay with your Bilam, who taught you to do bid? You should have done Shuvah and gone over to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Koyach and Nevuah exists, but they took it, Bilam used it the wrong way, and they used it the wrong way, and therefore, Bilam ends up destroying himself, and the Goyim end up being punished. But the truth is, it goes a step further. Isn't that all of us? Hashem gives us all what we need, whether it's health, parnasa, seichel, our lives. And sometimes, instead of using it the right way, we turn it around and we use it the wrong way. The same way, a person has to open up his mind sometimes and realize to use what Hashem gave him the right way. So, Amen. Okay, the pasuk says, "Vayelchu ziknei moiv ziknei midyan veksamim biyadam." Perik chaf beis pasuk zayin. The ziknei midyan went and they had the ksamim in their hands. What are ksamim? So Rashi tells us in pasuk zayin, "Tuk shatam ksamim." Says Rashi, "What are ksamim?" Says Rashi, "Kol." Meaning someone, all of their tools, all of the kishif, the tools of the trade. Shul Yoyman, that Bilam shouldn't be able to say, Ein kleit hashmishi imi. I don't have my tools with me. Bilam needs certain kalim to do his kolos. So they came prepared. They bought all the necessary tools. So Bilam shouldn't say, I'm not prepared. Dabaracha nadabshat is they took a sign in their hands and they said, if Bilam comes to us right away, yesh by mamish, then Bilam's for real. If Bilam pushes us off and says, you know, let me speak to Hashem, let me think about it, come back later, anybody tell us. You know, not much gain, not much reason to wait around. And when Bilam said to them, Linu pay halayla, stay overnight, they said, anybody tikva, there's no hope, and they left. And that's why the pasuk says that only the Sarei Moav remained, but the Ziknei Midyan left after Bilam said there's no hope. So for the Gra, we know we said it's over, but in the Gra says Pshat's the following. Moshe Rabbeinu's Koyach was Bepeh. So they came to Bilam, and they said, be Mekal Yisrael with your mouth. If Bilam would have said, right away, I'm coming, that shows in a way he's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened by B'nai Sosrofchad, when we came and they asked what the halacha is, Imdu ve'eshma ma'yitzar Hashem. Moshe said, I have to ask Hashem. I can't answer you right away. I can't just go ahead and talk to Hashem. Wait, I have to go find out. If Bilam would have said to B'nai Yisrael, I'm coming with you right away, that shows in a way that his mouth was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, yesh bei mamish, and he's for real. When Bilam said, he pushed him off, he said, wait a little bit, ein bo te'elis, because that shows he's not greater than Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did the same. Moshe Rabbeinu said, wait, Bilam says to wait. If that's the case, ein bo te'elis, maybe Bilam's call will be effective, maybe it won't be effective. But it's not guaranteed anymore because Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam sort of are the same. When Bilam said, "Lino for Havaiwa," Bilam said, "Stay overnight." Said the Zikli Midyon, "Ainboy Tikva." There's no hope because that's on a lower madrega than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu never said, "Stay overnight." Moshe Rabbeinu went right away and spoke to Hashem. So when Bilam said, "Lino for Havaiwa," sleep overnight, that showed that Bilam's pair was not on a level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they said, if that's the case, he's never going to win against Klal Yisrael. There's no hope, and they left. The Veltz is over, which is said over many times, is when he asks a person for a favor, you can tell by the way he answers what his intentions are. If he answers, I'll do it for you right away, yesh by mamish. Then he's the real McCoy. He's for real. You can trust him. He'll do you a favor. If he pushes you off and says, we'll see, let's wait, ain't by Tielis. Maybe yes, maybe no, 50-50. Don't put all your hopes in him. If he tells you, come back tomorrow, then ain't by Tikva. You should know there's no hope. He's pushing you off, and anybody take for there's no hope. The way a person answers, you could tell what his intentions are. Pasuk says, "Ki loy nachash bi Yaakov, loy tesem bi Yisrael." I think I said this much over probably the past every year, but it's one of the new Nagid's classics. As soon as I start, you remember the story, but it's one of the classics. In Perik Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, 23-23. Ki oi nachash bi Yaakov. Bilam says there's no nachash kishif and superstition bi Yaakov. V'le kesem bi Yisrael, no magic in Yisrael. Ka'es ye omer il Yaakov v'le Yisrael ma po'al keel. Case, at this time, they'll say to Yaakov v'Yisrael, ma po'al keel when Hashem does. Do the Magid, as is one of the classic Mesholim. There was a general in the king's army, and a general goes to battle and he fights many wars, and his life's in danger of being shot or killed by the sword. And he hears that somewhere deep in the forest, there's some professor who invented a special ointment, a cream, that if you smear it on a person, then nothing can penetrate. And if you throw arrows at him, or you take a sword and try to stab him, the ointment will cause the arrows and the sword to repel, to bounce off, and nothing will happen. And the general hears that, he decides, what a great idea. If only I had that ointment, I wouldn't have to be afraid. I'd go out to fight any battles. I could smear it all over myself. And I wouldn't have to worry about the enemy's arrows or the enemy's swords. And his friends tell him, are you going to waste your time traveling in the forest? You don't know if it's true or not. It's going to cost you a lot of money. How could you even test it out? Don't waste your time. And the general decides, no. I need it, and he decides to travel. And he travels by himself through the forest, and he comes to this professor, and the professor shows him the ointment. The professor convinces him, talks him into it, and he finally sells it to the general for a fortune of money, a very large sum of money. And the general is very hesitant to pay, but at the end, the professor wins out, he pays the money, and he receives the ointment. Before the general travels back, he smears the ointment all over himself from top to bottom. And he's traveling back in his wagon, and he's thinking to himself, oh, what a fool I am. What a fool. I just wasted all my money. This thing is never going to work. It's not real. He just talked me into it. My friends were right. I'm a nar for throwing away all my money. And suddenly a gang of robbers attack the wagon. They start shooting arrows. And as the arrows hit him, all the arrows bounce off. Each arrow that hits him bounces off. They take out the swords. They come running at him with their swords. And as soon as the sword touches him, the sword bounces right back. And the harder they try, it just keeps on bouncing back. And the robbers are terrified. Never saw something. They start running away. They drop their swords. They start running away. And the general screams, come back, come back, come back. I want to thank you. I want to give you a reward. Come back, come back. And they look at him. Thank us? For what? We just tried to kill you. We just tried to rob you. Why do you want to thank us for? And he says, because until you came, I wasn't sure if I wasted my money or not. I wasn't sure if the ointment really works. But now that you came and you attacked me, I see that it works. And I want to thank you for being the ones who proved to me that the ointment really worked, that I spent my money wisely, and that's really true. Said the Maggid, the same is true. Ki lo nachash bi Yaakov, ki lo kesem bi Yisrael. We know that kishuf and superstitions and magic has no power over Bnei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is under the protection of Hashem, and the magic has no power over us. But Lamaisa, nobody wanted to try it. Nobody wanted to have a spell put on them, a call put on them and see what happens. But at this time, Bilam tried, and it bounced right off. Every call that they try, it turns into a bracha. Everything bounces right off, it was repelled. At this time, Yomer, we said to Yaakov and to Yisrael, Ma Paul Kel, what Hashem does. Because now we see Bepoil, now we saw, in reality, what Hashem did, that Hashem Taka protects us, and the Taka bounced off. So in a way, Bilam was the one who brought this out, the catalyst who brought this out. We saw that Taka, that bracha that we had, that the Keshif, one of her new power over us, Taka came true in the times of, Bilam. Just a few nice remarks in Moshe Tevis that I saw. The word Balak is spelled Beis Lamed Kuf. Says the Shulchan Kadosh, Beis Lamed Kuf stands for Bracha Loi Klal. Bracha and not a klal, which is the whole essence of the parasha. Balak. Bilam tries to give a klal, and every klal he tries to give turns into a bracha. So Balak stands for Bracha Loi Klal. A bracha and not a klal. The pasuk tells us later on that Bilam took Shnei Na'ar Ve'ima. His Na'ar went with, it says in Perik Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph, sorry, in Chof Beis, Chof Aleph, says the Pasuk, V'hu Reichev Alasainoi, U'Shnei Na'ar Ve'ima. Bilam took his two Na'ar with him. And the pasuk tells us earlier in pasuk Chaf Aleph, by Yaakov Bilam Babaika. Bilam woke up in the morning, he saddled his donkey and he went. And Rashi tells us, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hashem said, Rasha, Kivak Domcha Avram Avim. Avram, their father already beat you to it. He already was before you. Shinema, it says by the Akedah, by Yashkeim Avraham Babaiker, by Yachavash Chamoiroi. Avraham woke up in the morning and he saddled his donkey. So Bilam thought he's getting up early in the morning. Hashem said, Rasha, Chai Yisrael is the schus of Avraham Avinu, who already woke up early in the morning to do the mitzvah of the Akedah. The Chiddush Rim says, fascinating. It says by Bilam, Ushnei Na'arav Imoi. His two Na'arav are with him. It says by Avraham Avinu, also he had two Na'arav, Mishmal and Eliezer, both Avraham Ben Akedah. Avram also had Shnei Na'arav, two Na'arav that were with him. They both woke up early in the morning, saddled the donkey, with Shnei Na'arav Imoy. Avram saddled the donkey himself, he didn't wait for help to do a mitzvah, and Bilam was so eager to bring his klala, Ava Mechakeles is a shu, says Rashi, it's Mechakel proper behavior, and Bilam, instead of waiting for someone to saddle the donkey, did it himself, and he had two Na'arav with him. It says the Chidush Rim. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? It says in Perikei Mishnah Chafbeis, it says, who are the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha, and who are the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? How does the Mishnah describe Talmidim of Bilam, and how does the Mishnah describe Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? Says the Mishnah, Perikei Mishnah Chafbeis, Kol mi sheyesh miyodoy shiroy shidvon hara, whoever has these three midos is mi Talmidim of Shor Avraham Avinu. And if he has three other characteristics, he's Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. Ayin Taiva, a good eye, V'ruach Nemucha Nevshva, a person who's humble, is Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. But the Ayin Ra, a bad eye, a Ruach Gavaya, he's a Balgaiva, Mishrechava, somebody who has a lot of desires, he wants a lot, a Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. Says the Chiddush Rim. If you take the word Nar, how is the word Nar spelled? Nun, Ayin Resh. Nun, Nefesh. Ayin is Ayin, and Resh is Ruach. Those are the three characteristics the Mishnah refers to for Avraham Avinu, and the three characteristics of Bilam HaRasha. Avraham had ayin, but it was a toiva, good eye. Aruch Nemucha, he was humble. Nefesh Shveila, he was satisfied, he didn't need too much. Well, Nefesh Shveila. Bilam had the ayin, but it was an ayin ra. He had a ruach, but it was ruach gavoya, gaiva. And the nefesh was a nefesh that desired a lot, the nefesh rechava. Nefesh nar is nun ayin resh. Nefesh, ayin, ruach. It says by Bilam, Ushnei Na'ar V'imoy. It says by Avram Na'ar V'imoy. Each one took their midos with him. Whatever characteristics a person has, that's what a person takes along with him. When Avram went always with an ayin toiva. Avram went with a ruach, ruach shveila. So I ruach the mucha and a nefesh shveila. Avram took his nar with him, which was with toiva. Bilam, on the other hand, his midos were l'ra. So wherever Bilam went, he took his nar with him. He took his nefesh, his ayin, his ruach with him. Whatever midas a person has, a person takes with him wherever he goes, whatever he does. Whether he's doing a mitzvah, Avram took the good midas. Bilam, where he went, took his bad midas. Then the Arav went with him. A person's midas always go with him. If a person works on his midas, then he has the good midas to take. Otherwise, he has the bad midas to take. The tendency of people is what? When we see somebody else has success in the world, we feel a little jealous, we feel a little bit jealous. Why him? Why not me? We're kind of a little bit. And we see something bad happen to somebody, he deserved it, that Russia, look what he did wrong, it's only fitting, and so on. Truth is, that's the wrong way of looking at things. When you see somebody is successful, be happy for somebody else. Be happy with what we have. Is there Rosh Hashanah b'chelgoi? Be happy for somebody else, not to be jealous. And if Chas Shalom bad happens to somebody else, feel for the person. We see a person do something wrong, we judge people so fast, what a Russia, he does wrong. So I'll tell you a small story that happened to me last week. I was in shul Shabbos morning, after davening. I was learning with my son. We were in the Gemara Nedarim and Nafches on the days. Gemara Nedarim, Ches on the days discusses if a husband could be a shriach to be mati his wife's neder or not. Does she have to go to Bezdin herself? In a case where he can't be made for the neder. He was mekayim the neder, but he wants to be mati the neder. Does she have to go to Bezdin herself? Or could the husband be a shriach to be mati his wife's neder or not? Yes or no? So, the Machos Yishon, I don't understand the whole Gemara, good. The round brings down that L'chaira, the Chazal tell us, a person can be mati on the darim, chutz minidrei atzma, except for his own darim. You can't be mati your neder, perhaps he can be mati his wife's neder. And the Ram then says, Kain, it's similar to the cloud that it says in the Sechta Negoyim. Kol Negoyim Adam Raya, chutz minigay atzmai. A person could see your own Negoyim, except for his own Negoyim. A Kain can't examine his own Negoyim. A person has a Nega, has to be examined by somebody else. So you'll appreciate this. I was learning Rabbi Oshri's shul this Gemara, and I was learning my son, and I was saying the Ram, and I said those words, Kol Adam Negoyim, Kol Negoyim Adam Raya, chutz minigay atzmai. I said those words out loud. And I touched it to the person who could examine the Negoyim, except for his own Negoyim. Suddenly I hear a voice behind me, and says, Nay. Call Adam, call Negoyim Adam Raya Chutz, Nigay Atzmai. Azoy Zot Tehel Geb Hashem. I turned around, and I see Rabbi Oshri standing right behind me. I looked at him, he says, Yeah. Says the Hashem, call Negoyim Adam Raya Chutz, Nigay Atzmai. Put the comma after Chutz. For every nega that a person sees on the outside, a person sees by yenim, this aveir, a person sees by somebody else, he's doing something wrong, don't look and say, yenim's the Rasha. It's nigei atzma. It's a reflection of yourself. If you see somebody else doing an aveira, somebody else doing something wrong, don't think that you're the tzaddik and he's the Rasha. But it's a reflection of yourself. You have a little bit of that aveira in you, and you need to do tshuva for that aveira.
So it means if it's a Hussein, he has a bad eye?
I'm trying to say not like that. Look at yourself. Instead of looking at Yenim with a bad eye and say, Yenim's the one the Rasha. Call him the Goyim, Adam Raya Chutz, whatever Nega a person sees on the outside. He sees on the outside, but Yenim and Nega, you should know it's a reflection. It's Nega Yatzma. It's his own Nega, and he has to do Tshuva. So it's the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So when someone sees something, put it in a proper perspective, how to look at it. It's Ayin Toiv, it's Ayin Ra, a person has to know how to look at it. Okay, Maisa, we're holding before Shavuos B'Tammuz, and like it is, Kamat every year, Pashas Balak falls out right before the 3 weeks start. And then we come into the 3 weeks. And I know I said this over last year, but I think the lesson is very powerful. And that is, we find a tremendous difference between the Avelos of the 3 weeks and the Avelos that a person has, Chas V'Shalom, when a relative is Nifter. When a relative is Nifter, how does Avelos work? First, a person becomes an Oinein, which is the most chomer level of Avelos. He's part of the mitzvahs. Poshet, he's until the Kvura, he's an Oinein. After the Kvura, he becomes an Ovel, the dinim of Shiva. Shiva is a chomer, not as chomer as Oinein. He can do mitzvahs already, but he has rules over the Shiva. After the Shiva, sort of the Avelos eases up a little bit, he enters the Shloshim, which is still chomer, but the dinim are relaxing a little bit. After the Shloshim, he enters the year, the Yubes Chodesh, with the dinim relax even more. So by private Avelos, the Avelos goes from Harsh to Kal. Starts off very Chomo, Oinein, then Avelos, the Shiva, then the Shloshim, then the Yubes Chodesh, then the Avelos disappears. It goes. When it comes to Avelos to the Beis Hamikdash, the Avelos works the other way around. We start off the 3 weeks. We start off easy. 3 weeks, okay, no chasenus, no music, no haircuts. You start off very calm. You can still have your meat, still drink your wine, still party, it's fine. It comes to a Shchodesh Av, we get a little more chamor, gets harsher. No meat, no wine, no swimming, Ashkenazim, Sfadim, Minhagim, gets a little more chamor. Then comes Shvuah Shechalboy, week of Tisha B'Av, gets a little harsher. Then comes Erev Tisha B'Av, then comes Chatzos of Erev Tisha B'Av, and then comes Tisha B'Av itself, which is the most chamor time of Avelos that we have. The Avelos works the other way around. The Avelos starts off very calm, it starts off easier, and it gets more chamor. Why the difference? Well, when it comes to a personal Avelos, is the Avelos start off very harsh, and then eases as time goes along. When it comes to Avelos, for the Beis Hamikdash, the Churban, the Avelos works the other way around. The Avelos starts off very calm, and we inch our way up until it's Tisha B'Av, very chamor. B'Halay Dabo, must be a reason why Avelos works differently. So, years ago, Tisha B'Av, I once heard somebody speak, I don't remember who it was, and he said over a beautiful vart. And he said, the answer is Pashat. When it comes to personal Avelos, there's no need to build up the Avelos. The person feels it right away. The person feels the loss. He feels the loss. He feels that all the chumras and all that comes on with the Avelos, he feels it right away. Fakert. We try to make it a little bit easy for him. So it takes a little time. And as time goes on, we ease the Avelos. And it eases it. The dinim come a little easier until the dinim are relaxed and ease completely. When it comes to the Beis Hamikdash, it's just the opposite. Do we really feel for the Beis Hamikdash? Do we really have Avelos? It's very hard. It didn't happen in our lifetime. It happened a long time ago. Okay? We believe, we know, but do we really, really feel it? To start off very harsh, a person won't be able to handle it because he doesn't feel the loss. So we start off very slowly. Want to feel the loss of the Beis Hamikdash? Hold back. Just hold back a little bit. Don't take a haircut. Hold yourself back a little bit. Don't take a haircut. You know, don't have a chasana. Don't listen to music. Hold yourself back. You did that for a while. Okay, now you can move to the next step. Don't drink wine. Don't eat meat. Hold yourself back. Don't wear freshly laundered clothing. Hold yourself back. You're moving up another step. You're able to handle it. Get ready for the next step. Get ready for Erev Tisha B'Av. Get ready for Chatzos. Tisha B'Av, sit on the floor, fast. Then you can really feel the Avelos. You have to bring yourself up to that level to feel the Avelos. You can't just jump into it because it's not an Avelos that personally happened. It's what we know happened, but we didn't experience it. In order to experience it, we have to start off slowly and climb the ladder until we're able to experience the Avelos of Tisha B'Av. So the Avelos starts off very slowly, and we work our way up one step at a time. If you feel the first step, you can feel the second step, until you're able to feel the Avelos of Tisha B'Av. Chazal tell us, Kol HaMasaba Yerushalayim Mezoichah V'Rayim V'Nechamoso, whoever's in Avelos and Yerushalayim Mezoichah V'Sid V'Nechamo, Shnach B'Zoichah, at this year, Yogan should turn to Simcha, Avelos V'Yomtiv, should be Takhmi Zoicha, Tishbo should be Yomtiv, Charolai Moyed, which be Zoicha, Mashiach, Zakeim, here, remain on me.